same attitude as when you want to go to a meditation center. I have to do something in order to...
But it's not just use the word, it's also the clinging. So very soon after seeing, hearing, right, only 3 moments, then it's the asava, the dasava. That's why when one is asked, is it you who see, we say, suddenly, I see, she sees, and so on.
So Vincent, I solved the puzzle of anatta in the beginning. It's just the same, like I see, I hear, I think, I'm anatta. Not
that was
any
really
understanding.
To say the most miracle, the most difficult thing to find out.
That was really meant to appreciate the truth of anatta.
That's what I understood just now, that it's what he meant. He simply was trying to say that the most difficult thing is to understand anatta.
But if there is trying in the beginning to understand the truth of anatta, it's the wrong way.
Yeah, if the idea of I cannot realize the truth of anatta.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the point.
Right, and that's why
and that
it's
was the
most miracle thing. I was more saying it's a soul miracle that the truth can be realized. Actually, there's no one at all.
Mm-hmm. And I trying to find it, or I trying to understand it, will never lead to that understanding.
I don't think he was conveying that. Were you conveying the idea of you trying to find it?
Not really, but it's okay. It's about the how amazing the truth is.
And I think what I understood from John's response was that it takes time to come to understand anatta. So the most difficult is the first point of understanding, the first time there's understanding in any given life. So the beginning is the most difficult.
And I think that, like, now that Vincent mentions that how amazing is the truth, I think it's amazing only in the sense that it's always there, but you can never see it, right? Other than that, I don't think there's nothing really amazing about it. Because
it's there, but it's unseen as
right.
I. Yeah. It's not just latent tendency. It's there after seeing, hearing. So natural.
Right.
So there's always the idea of I.
Well, I think you could say it's amazing in the sense that you've never come to that by your own reasoning or thinking. It's just so unimaginable. Until one hears it.
So close and so far, right? That reminds me of a book. But a book that has nothing to do with this, about politics.
But always looking for something else. And I think we could say in the beginning, it has to be the beginning of understanding what Dharma is. Otherwise, people talk about anatta, but if they don't understand anything about Dharma, then there won't be any understanding of anatta, no matter how much one hears about it.
Achan, can we say that the beginning, the understanding of Dhamma is the understanding of anatta?
The understanding Dhamma as not self.
So, because Dhamma is anatta. So understanding Dhamma is understanding anatta.
The truth of it.
That's why it has to develop together. It's not just anatta of nothing, it's of Dhamma.
Are you talking about the Dhamma or conditioned Dhammas?
Conditioned Dhammas.
Mm. Or Dhamma.
Or anything.
Or Dhamma. Mm. Or the Dhamma.
I have a question about Kantijnana, which you mention quite often. We know that this is referring to stages of Vipassana jnana only, Kanti at those moments. And the actual term Kanti jnana, so Kanti is patience and jnana is understanding, referring to particular Vipassana jnana. So is it referring to the Kanti that accompanies that level of jnana when we use the expression Kanti jnana? Because Kanti is not jnana. So Kanti jnana has to refer to Kanti with jnana. Is that correct?
Everything arises and falls away. Is there Kanti now?
At moments of understanding now, if it's right now, with the moments of wise considering, Kanti is at those moments.
Even that it's right understanding or not, but Kanti is virya, right? It arises with almost every citta. But when we talk about understanding, this level of intellectual understanding is not vipassanayana yet. So even Kanti has to have its own conditions to be such and such. Without the level of understanding as vipassana, it's different from hearing about it. So this is, we don't know whether now it's Kanti, but it's there, see. So everything is as it is, all dhammas, but no understanding of them as they are, as those self. But after vipassanayana, the understanding is sharper, keener. And then the understanding of what has been heard before and thought about before becomes true, right? It does not, like we have to think about whether what level it is. But from then on, Kanti has to have more and more, not just at level of intellectual understanding. Because the difference between Panya at level of intellectual and Vipassanayana are so quite different. So the Kanti after experiences Dhamma directly brings about the understanding that just not have virya to understand whatever is there in daily life will not lead to higher Kanti or to condition the vipassana, higher vipassana.
So it, because of the Kanti at those moments of understanding, it leads to the higher vipassana jnana. So we can say it's a supporting condition for that understanding at that level. And because the Kanti must be so much stronger and firmer.
For example, nama, rupa, paricheta jnana, no doubt about the quality, the characteristic of nama, no rupa at all. And the rupa, only one at a time. Everything appears so clear because there's nothing more than that, more than just one characteristic at a time. By then one knows that it's not the moment of experiencing the arising and falling of Dhamma yet. It only shows up what it is as not self at all, only that characteristic. No one, nothing in the world. But that's not enough. That's why it needs Kanti at level of jnana, not just hearing and considering.
So that's why Kanti jnana has to refer to Samasana jnana onwards when there is already the beginning of understanding of the arising and falling away. And when you say Kanti at that level, it means Kanti of a degree that it accompanies that Samasana jnana.
And the way onward from that moment of understanding to the higher one needs Kanti.
Yes.
To be Kanti jnana with vipassana.
So it actually, Kanti jnana, it's really like a shorthand. It really refers to Kanti with that level of vipassana jnana.
Otherwise, it is only Kanti, just like intellectual.
Right, like now.
Understanding.
Thank you.
I think you said there are three stages or something. Is there any significance in the difference between one stage
because
and the next?
Because the vipassana jnanas are different. As Kanti now is not Kanti with vipassana jnana, after the experiencing vipassana jnana, the first and the second and the third one, it begins to understand. It's quite long way, far away. It needs more Kanti. And it has to go with no self. Not I who am trying or try to do this or do that or try to listen more or try to think more. Because now this moment is Sankhara Khanda by themselves. No matter what Chetasikas arising together, they work together, not anyone. That's why it's more difficult to see that it's impossible to have the idea of self to try to make it arise. And that is the only way to eliminate the idea of self, gradually, little by little.
But the Kanti at the Pariyati level is also important.
But not Kantiyana. So one can understand the it's so far from one understanding to another level. All depends on understanding. That's why it's impossible just to try with the idea of self, of different ways, more and more attachment to the self. And it's the wrong path.
I'd like to help bring up a question of Eve's the other day. The other day Eve asked about Kilesa in the discussion, and we could talk about the definition about the 10 Akusala Dhammas, which are Kilesa, and how they are the main kinds of defilements and condition the other defilements. But Ajahn's answer was, now, what about now? Because any understanding of Kilesa has to be now. And we may think about our defilements in the past and our difficulties and our difficult accumulations. And it's true that everyone has different accumulations to think in different ways. Some people worry about things in the future and some worry about the akusala done yesterday. But the point is that thinking now with lobha and dosa and moha can never solve the problem of kilesa. So it has to come back to now, because only understanding can ever solve this problem. There will always be kilesa, and if there's no understanding of what appears now as Dharma, not the story of my kilesa, the stories will continue on, and it will always be the same issue, and we'll talk to all our friends about our problems and our difficulties. But the Dharma, the understanding now, is the only solution to any problems. Would you say a little more, Ajahn? This isn't just for Eve, it's for all of us.
Because you think that the problem is I. But when there's the understanding, no doubt about no I, whatever arises is conditioned.
It's always I, like what happened to me, what I'm doing. In the taxi we were talking about, all about self. Maybe Nina has a little more to add. Thinking about defilements and kilesa and all about me. No understanding now at this moment.
Well, that happens all the time. Yeah, mm-hmm. Not enough understanding. Yeah. So I start to worry maybe about my traveling, about so many things.
It's so natural.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Common to everyone. It seems like it's only I who have all these kilesa and all these particular problems and feel overwhelmed when I step outside. But they are just passing dharmas, common to everyone. So the more understanding now of Dharma, seeing now, hearing now, lobha now, just as dharmas, not as me. This is the beginning of the way leading to the solution to all problems in life.
But in Thailand, I learned to think less seriously about things, to take it easily, to take it more easily. I learned it little by little.
My conditions, remember that too. Even thinking is conditioned.
Yeah.
Can we also say that conceit plays a role in thinking about one's own kilesa?
Not only conceit.
Because even for the Sotapanna who has no more wrong view of I, there could still be the thought of my kilesa
until kilesas are eradicated.
Chan, that reminds me of something I wanted to ask. In Thai, I've heard in one of your talks about Kriyam Nyan Cha, referring to Tanha, Mana, and Titi. Can you say something about that?
Okay. Why don't we listen to the teaching? tanha is there, doing something better, right? And when it's titi, wrong understanding, one can know by oneself. No need to study the teachings of the Buddha or go somewhere. That is titi, all kinds of titi. It's kreng len cha and mana, see. Why do I have to listen to that person? Yeah.
What means kreng neng cha?
I forgot to.
Means,
yeah.
It's like slow down the process of
understanding
to reach nipan. Mean to makapon or
way.
Something that stops, something that slow down.
The delaying factor.
Delay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, to delay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Achan, today there is Sampatha Sut. They said Kwam Siram. Ha le sombat mean the siram means
to decay
and five treasure and five decay. In the context says Buddha says to Bhikshu that five decays are decays in relative. Yeah, decay in poka. Poka means
sapsambat.
Poka means treasure, like
wealth.
And siam, and the decay because of disease, decay because of sila, decay in sila and decay in panya. Titi. And Buddha says all pisuka to see that when the animal mean all living being after death will not go to tukati or narok
to a happiness realm and
yeah
no tukati is lower
unlucky
because of decaying in relative because in decaying in poka mean decaying in treasure or decay in disease, but the animal after all living being death will go to tukati because of decaying in sila or decay in panya. This is the five decaying.
What is your question?
So I'm not sure how decaying in relative and decay in poka and decaying in disease will not make you to go to lower room. I'm not sure why the context says like this.
Can we simply say all akusla? Brings about that. And kusla different from akusla.
Not to go or to go?
To go.
To go.
I mean, if you lost your relative, you will go to heaven. I'm not sure the question.
I think there's a distinction between decay in worldly things, and the last two are decay in the kusala.
Good deeds, sila and panya will
right.
let you go to lower.
That's clear enough, right? But
yeah.
Decay in conventional things doesn't lead to an unhappy rebirth, necessarily.
Yeah.
Loss of wealth doesn't lead in itself to an unhappy rebirth.
And because of
loss
disease.
Of wealth is result of karma, not itself karma.
And a couple of points from before that you said you've been patiently waiting to bring up, because you felt it wasn't so suitable during the Chinese sessions.
Yeah. Sarah, you made a comment during the discussions. We were talking about the sense door process and then the subsequent mind door process. And in the sense door process, I'll use the example of seeing the visible object arises and falls away by the end of that process. And in the next process, that object is experienced again, even though the visible object has fallen away, it's experienced again. I've thought through a bit more about what you said, because the image or sign of the visible object remains or becomes the object of the jitas in that first mind door process. And you referred to that as being the nimitta. And now that makes sense to me. I have had an impression, and I don't know why, of for the nimitta to... I guess I've thought of the nimitta as being many, many more processes of jitta than these two. So that would carry on then as the visible object, another visible object, arose again and again.
What I was referring to was there was talk about understanding nimitta, and I was talking about understanding the nimitta of visible object. Mm-hmm. So it's always nimitta of reality mm-hmm. that is understood. And if we're talking about the ones like the Buddha and the Arahats and those who have highly developed understanding, at least Vipassana Jnana, then it is the direct understanding of reality then and there through the mind door. And it doesn't matter whether the visible object's experienced in the sense door or the mind door, it's exactly the same reality. But to be precise, it has to be nimitta of reality, mm-hmm. that is experience that arises and falls away. When we're talking about, like now, understanding nimitta of reality, countless visible objects are experienced mm-hmm. in order for that nimitta to appear. So nimitta is used in different contexts, even if it's referring to nimitta of reality. Right. And it depends on the degree of understanding, how close it is to the absolute reality itself.
Close to, like, the sense door process.
Like, so in the case of the Buddha, then of course it doesn't need countless visible objects to be experienced for there to be understanding of the nimitta of visible mm-hmm. object, because as soon as that visible object appears, it's understood instantly, just one. But for us, even if we're talking about direct understanding, it cannot be understanding of one visible object. There have to be countless experiences of visible object for there to be understanding of the nimitta of visible object. I don't know if Ajahn has anything to add.
Mm. Is there any particular relationship between the two kinds of nimitta?
I think it's enough to just know that it is always nimitta of reality, but it depends on the degree of understanding as to how close it is to the reality itself. Like in the case of the Buddha's understanding at the moment of Sampatichana, there can't be understanding at that moment, but that characteristic of reality can appear instantly to Panya, sense door, mind door. Mm. But for others, even if it's there's Vipassana Jnana, not direct understanding of Sampatichana, if it doesn't appear, and probably it doesn't appear because it's not the common object of understanding. And if it did, it would be because there were countless processes. So I don't think it really matters or helps to try to work out more than that, but just to know that accumulations of thinking are different, accumulations of understanding are different, degrees and levels are different, accumulations of what understanding understands is different. But for me, it's enough to know it must be nimitta of reality.
And because there are two things, when we, at least I did, I mean, without going into that, the other meaning of nimitta, that the nimitta, as we refer to as being of, because of the rising and falling of many realities one after the other very fast, is the nimitta, or because they are realities. Now it seems to be that nimitta is the result of the other nimitta, means the nimitta we were just explaining to end belt. This nimitta of like now is being experienced because of that nimitta, not because of that reality. You could say that that reality brings that nimitta of reality, and then this nimitta is the result of this nimitta.
It's like to see a circle like in the fire, right?
Yeah.
All the circle joined together. So it's like
so
previous.
If there was not that nimitta, there wouldn't be this nimitta.
It's like
it's true that we could say if there wasn't reality, there couldn't be nimitta, and if there wasn't nimitta of reality,
there couldn't be this.
When it's experienced, there couldn't be nimitta of reality now. But one has to be careful because it's not nimitta that conditions anything, because it's always nimitta of reality. So the conditions for visible object and the experience of it, experiencing of nimitta of visible object is the prior experience of that visible object.
But actually, nimitta is also not a dhamma because it's like thinking circle.
No, no, there's nimitta of reality is as good as saying it's dhamma.
But how, Acharya? How?
What's
because nimitta
kind of
is
nimitta?
Like thinking.
The other, which is nimitta in jhana.
Oh, jhana.
So different kinds of nimitta in different contexts.
Yeah.
How? I don't get it. Can you explain somebody?
Are you making a connection between the two?
No, I'm saying that he's saying both are the result of thinking. I'm saying no. One is...
Why? How?
The example about the many dots and that go so fast that you see a circle, it's a little confusing for me because when you say that nimitta cannot condition anything, right? So when I think about that example, let's say that I'm a person who gets scared of circles, right? So when if I would actually see the dots, I would not fear would not arise. But at the moment when I see the whole circle, I will fear will arise. So it's only the nimitta which is producing.
But it seems it's a bit like if one's afraid of snakes or afraid of ghosts. It seems like it's the ghost or the snake that's conditioning the fear, or here the circle. But the real cause of the fear is the accumulated fear in the past, no matter it's fear about snakes or fear about ghosts or fear about nimitta and dots. It's the accumulated fear that's the condition. Otherwise, no conditions for that fear to arise.
But if there's not the suitable object, then the fear would not arise. If the snake is not there.
But the tendency will lie dormant. The anagami, under no circumstances, will fear arise because all dosa has been eradicated. Now we're sitting here, no conditions for fear to arise, maybe for one day, 1 month, 1 year, but the
right.
Tendency is there, ready to, when it's the suitable object, ready for to arise. And it seems that the condition is the snake or the person or the dots, but
it's
the tendency of fear that
so
conditions that arising when circumstances change.
So if a snake comes into the room, you cannot say that the snake is a condition. Only the inner. The
only clear. By being the object, just as the object, but the real condition is
the
accumulated tendency of fear.
But you
and at that moment, the snake is the object, just Aramana Pachya.
But the object is not. Is not a condition. You cannot.
Only by being the object of the fear. That's all.
Yeah, but,
the accumulate is the
analogy of the fire stick. One can't take it too far because, in the sense we are using the term nimitta right now, it's just the rapid rising and falling away of a given dhamma, which is the means by which the dhamma is experienced. In the case of the fire stick, it talks about drawing a circle or maybe a figure eight or whatever. The actual point of the fire stick isn't seen as just that. The dhamma that's arising and falling away very rapidly is experienced by means of its nimitta.
And in that case of the fear, it is the fear that has been accumulated in the past, and it can be fear of snakes, so that fear of that particular object has been accumulated, so that there are conditions for fear of that object. Like if the fear of ghosts has been accumulated, then whenever one hears the word ghost, there is fear instantly, fear with that as object. But it's the fear itself that is accumulated, the thinking with fear about this or that object.
Fear can fear anything, but fear is a kilesh, right? It's not that the object makes you fear, but it's because it's the kilesh.
Yes, that was the point we were making, yes.
But I want to ask about nimitta. Can someone explain? I'm still confused. Achan, can you?
Now, nimitta.
Yeah, they have to be.
It's now and it's now. Here.
Because they have to have rise and fall of the reality, then nimitta can arise. Then is
just close your eyes and open. When you just open, at the beginning, is it thinking or because
seeing it thinking rapidly?
But there is a difference. There'll be thinking follow that start to distinguish between this and that. But before the distinguishing, there's also a sense of something out there. Means.
But that is like thinking. The Dhamma is already see colors, only not the shape or blah 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 is thinking.
Yeah, later. Yeah. You think, but you can imagine also that before that thinking, there must be many realities.
No, thinking imagines. See can't imagine. See only see colors.
But see doesn't see just one. There's not only one seeing.
I could give an example that I don't know if it would help or not, but someone once explained to me that a calculator with a digital display is only actually showing one digit at a time. But it looks as though there are five or six digits showing continuously. But in fact, they are just momentary switching on and off of the different digits in the display. So in that sense, what is being experienced is not the reality, because there's only one on at a time. But we see the whole number as a continuous thing. Mm. That's just an analogy that you may or may not find helpful, because for the reality, whether it's visible object or seeing consciousness, arises and falls away so rapidly that what awareness or understanding experiences is a period of the reality rather than the individual risings and fallings away.
Okay, like let's say that through eyes door, nimitta is the nimitta of when we think of shape or person, because it's color and nimit. And when we from the ear door, like the sound, right, it's actually we think of a language or I don't know, but language or word is just in the end, it's just a thinking because of nimitta of a rapid.
Well, that's a different issue. That's a different issue. That is a question of attending to the detail.
So that has to be thinking, right? It cannot.
Of course, it's thinking. Yes.
So nimitta is not a dhamma, actually.
No, you're confusing attending to the detail with the experiencing of the reality by its nimitta. Because if we want to talk about nimitta in that example, the hearing of sound. Mm-hmm. If there is awareness of the sound that is heard, it won't be awareness of a single moment of sound. It'll be awareness of many, many moments of sound that are rising and falling away and appear to be continuous. That's the nimitta effect. The thinking about the detail gives one the concept, is a condition for concept about words and meaning. But that's not the nimitta.
But actually, Dhamma is only single, and Dhamma we think as a whole, but whole is an idea. Dhamma is only at the momentary.
Are you listening?
You can appreciate that when it's direct understanding, Satipatthana, even then, it is nimitta. And direct understanding understand the characteristic. So even rise and fall appears because it's reality, not thinking. If it's thinking, then the characteristic won't appear because concept don't have characteristics.
At the moment of when seeing consciousness, can there be understanding when seeing consciousness is the object?
Because that time sees object.
because seeing only arises in the eye door process, and in the eye door process, only visible object is the object. So at a moment of seeing, when seeing arises, there cannot be panya at that moment. So how is it possible for seeing to be the object of understanding?
So it had to be many seeing.
Just listen carefully. For seeing to be the object of panya, can it be the actual seeing consciousness that is the object? Only by way of nimitta. If it's not the nimitta of seeing, then seeing can never be the object. And in fact, even if it's direct understanding, I cannot just understand one moment of seeing. There have to be countless moments of seeing. But even in the case of the Buddha, panya cannot arise at the same moment of seeing. So it's always nimitta of reality, which is experienced through the mind door. So that's enough. So without reality, there cannot be nimitta of reality. And without nimitta of reality, there cannot be thinking about reality, which is what you were talking about. So just consider that.
But we can all appreciate that Dhamma is only one by one, right? We can all appreciate
Everyone knows that, yes. It arises, every Dhamma arises and falls away. But that wasn't the question or the answer.
So nimitta is actually because of many individual one Dhamma arise alone.
Consider it. Okay. Think about it. And you had another question.
I did. Jonathan said something the other day. Sorry.
While you're looking for that. Okay. Going back to Harjit's sutta that he quoted, Ajahn said it's all about agusala, different kinds of agusala. And I think the understanding of the sutta is that what people fear most or worried about most is losing worldly wealth or health, for example. But they're not so concerned about loss of sila or understanding because they don't appreciate that of the two, the latter is much more serious than the former. But we cling so much to worldly things that we don't appreciate the significance.
Yes, Jonathan, you said something the other day, and I'm pretty sure I've got it quoted right here. Is it possible that thinking can coordinate what experiences through the five doorways to produce objects and ideas? You said that. Yeah, something like that. You did. So I started thinking about, is that possible that thinking can coordinate experiences?
That it's thinking.
Yes, it's thinking.
Can I just mention the context? Someone said they had an idea of a soul.
Yes.
The function of which was to coordinate all the different experiences, including sense door experiences that happen. I was coming back and saying, is it possible that that function of coordinating, because now we see a room full of people.
Yes.
And we're hearing and can understand the conversation that's going on. That requires a lot of coordination of different sense door experiences. Is it necessary to have the idea of a soul in order to get that coordination? Can we not consider the possibility that it's just mental activity performs that coordinating function?
Okay, thank you.
Could we use the example of a computer to explain that? In the sense that we could think, I mean, if I was a primitive person, I would think that a computer needs a soul in order to coordinate all its functions, but it doesn't. Is that the same thing as in the case of the human experience or
process? But my question, I'm still confused about the idea of coordination, because that's just thinking, right? And our tendency to see in terms of self and others and situations. And so I'm questioning even why we are trying to explain coordination.
Well, I understood the questioner to be talking about the fact that when you are talking, I see your lips moving. So the hearing of the sound is coordinated with the visual image. Mm-hmm. That sort of coordination. Conventional idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ajahn, I have a question about, which I was discussing with someone, and I've forgotten who I was discussing it with, about viveka described by way of the pahanas, the abandonings. Now, it refers to this in the text. It defines viveka by way of the five kinds of pahana, starting with Tadanga Pahana at moments of Vipassana Jnana. And so I was thinking about the kinds of viveka that the texts refer to, kaya viveka, citta viveka, and upadhi viveka, and how they are defined by way of different kinds of abandoning. So I just would like to go through them a little bit slowly. So starting with kaya viveka, if we talk about kaya viveka as being defined by these different kinds of pahana, so kaya viveka, the living alone with understanding, so by way of Tadanga, Pahana, Vipassana, Jnana, and so on. Is there anything more to say?
All depends on right understanding, right? When there's right understanding, would you like to keep company with many, many people?
No, not necessarily. No clinging to
Kaya, Viveka.
Yes.
With Panya.
Yes. So when it is Panya of the degree of different kinds of pahana, no matter whether it's of the degree of vipassana jnana or the next one, development of samatha to jhana, it's...
When he taught just one word, he talked all about everything.
Everything, yes.
Not just...
So one word, viveka, then it's actually
he
referring
a
to
lot about
every
everything.
Kind of pahana,
yes.
Or every kind of abandoning of degrees and kinds. And so in this sense, when it says it can be described in ways of pahana, does it just mean literally these kinds just at levels of vipassana, jnana, jhana and enlightenment or any
it
development?
It depends on what is there at that very moment.
Moment, right, okay. Yeah, because it has to develop and grow, yes. And so the next one, the citta viveka, just referring to any moment of understanding, whether alone or with others, by way of pahana, and the last one to the eradication of defilement. So, of course, then it just refers to the last kinds of pahana that relate to enlightenment, I think.
When there is understanding of the word viveka, and when it arises, no doubt about the place of what kind of viveka
right.
is there.
Yes, yes. Okay, thank you. Upadhi viveka, yes, at moments of enlightenment, yes. So then if it's by way of the pahanas, then it's the last three pahanas are referring to magga, citta and samuccheda pahana, the cutting off of defilements, and the last one, nisarana, to nibbana itself. So we can see that this is upadhi viveka. Yeah.
Is it all right to ask a question? On reading the chapter of the factors leading to enlightenment from Survey of Paramattha Dhammas, page 321, there is this about the enlightenment factor of calm, pasadi. These are the cetasikas that are calm of cetasikas, kaya pasadi, and calm of citta, citta pasadi. I understand this, well, calm of citta, citta pasadi, but the kaya, usually body?
Cetasika.
Yes, Vedana Chetasika.
The body of Chetasika.
Yes, 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 thank
that's
you.
That's another meaning of Kaya.
Thank you. Yes, there was another meaning and it didn't quite take when on reading. Thank you.
And it also, there are other Sobhana factors and they each refer to Lahuta and so on. They each refer to like lightness of Chitta and lightness of Chetasikas. So for all of them.
Kaya. And then the other one is that in Ti Hetuka, the bhavangas are accompanied with panya. Interesting. Thank you.
I have a question from Azita. Azita, I assume you're listening. Your question.
Why don't you bring your chair closer? I can hear beautifully here.
Ajahn, Azita was asking about the three kinds of dukkha. The dukkha, viparinama dukkha, and sankhara dukkha. She says she understands the first two, dukkha and viparinama dukkha, but she doesn't understand the third, why it is why it is referring what's the term for vedana? The
vedana. Actually, it's referring to upeka, neutral feeling, and all other dharmas.
Right.
Because this is just by way of vedana.
Yes. So I asked her whether I could put it another way, the question, because it's a question that I also once had. What's the significance of explaining these three kinds of dukkha with reference to vedana, the three kinds of vedana?
Because it's not easy to understand the last one and the middle one, but the first one is not too difficult to understand.
So, in the same way as it's not easy to understand upekha vedana, it's not easy to understand sankhara dukkha. Mm-hmm. That's the same way. Oh, okay.
And because the first one, dukkha, refers to that unpleasant feeling, so that is the definition of the dukkha, the unpleasant bodily and mental feeling. So it's understood by way of feeling, because that's what it is. And the second one, by way of pleasant feeling, clinging all the time to pleasant feeling that's gone. So by way of feeling, the last one refers to actually any kind of feeling or any kind of reality, but by way of feeling we say upekha, but it means upekha and all other dharmas that arise and fall away.
But I think her question is, well, it doesn't seem to refer to upekha in particular any more than any of the other feelings, but is that what she's getting at? But the fact is that because the other two are clearly one feeling over the others, then the remaining feeling is allotted to the third kind, just like that, just that. It's not the other two kinds of feeling.
That's what I tried to say. The first kind everybody knows, the second kind must refer to pleasant feeling only, because that's what we cling to. Therefore, the idea of it dropping away can be known, because when it's gone, we want more. And the third one cannot be explained in those two terms, because then it's definitely not that. So that's why it is the third kind of feeling.
Is it better to include everything in the third?
The reason we are talking, the question is the reason we are talking particularly about feelings. So we can understand that the first two can be understood in terms of their feelings, unpleasant, pleasant, and the third, therefore, although it applies to everything, since we're talking about feelings, so we use neutral feeling.
Otherwise, we might think about just feeling.
Mm-hmm. And Alberto asked me to follow up on a point we discussed the other day when we were talking about pasa, cetasika, and pasa as ahara pachya. So whenever pasa arises, it depends on what it contacts as to what is experienced, whether it contacts visible object or sound will condition hearing or seeing to arise. And he asked me to discuss more about this, and I mentioned to him that pasa conditions the accompanying citta and citta seekers by way of ahara paccaya, nutriment condition, and also it at that moment of arising, it's a condition for that sound or visible object to be experienced by way of ahara paccaya. And as we know, it's one of the four nutriments conditions, along with citta, chetana, and then the rupa, ahara, paccaya. And I think he would just like you to add anything more about pasa as ahara, paccaya.
That's why only one word or one sutta is not enough at all. Because thinking about pasa as ahara, pasa arises with each citta. So after seeing what bring more.
So then we also read about how pasa is conditioned for tanha, and this is also by way of ahara paccaya.
Everything comes from pasa.
Yes.
No matter through which doorway.
Some people will say, well, for tanha, also previous tanha or vedana or many things are conditioned for tanha. But when it talks again and again in the suttas about pasa is a condition for tanha, it means just by this condition, ahara, paccaya in particular, I think.
And also other things, not only tanha.
No, it's a condition for anything, any citta or any citta seeker that arises. And in the other nama, ahara, paccaya, dharmas, citta and chetana, can one say, like, for example, just as pasa is a condition for sound at that moment of its arising, at the moment pasa arises, can one say the same for chetana too? Because it's also ahara paccaya at that moment.
Different function.
Different function, but at that moment of experiencing sound, it's also by ahara paccaya and for citta too.
Because chetana cannot perform the function of pasa.
No, but of coordinating at that moment, so it's a condition for sound at that moment it's experienced. Same for citta.
I mean, for every citta to arise, they have to be pasa, mean contact with an object, because then it cannot successfully perform as citta and other chetasika to arise to functionally at a moment. And chetana means like the intention, so it means that it has to have intention to successfully. Intention doesn't. It for every kind of citta, maybe whether akusala, kusala, vibhaka or kriya, because intention for other namatama to arise mean for other chetasika to arise also successfully to.
At the moment of seeing, when chetana arises at that moment, what is its function? Is it intention?
No, no.
What is its function?
I mean, intention mean is not the cause, but intention for the citta and other chetasika.
At the moment of seeing,
yes.
When chetana arises with it, what is its function?
Well, chetana means it's a vibhaka, but the...
What is its function at that moment of seeing?
It's the intention. Yes, intention in the sense that it's not a cause, like karma, like akusala, kusala.
It's but not at that moment of seeing. Its function is coordinating the citta and the other citta seekers, not intending. It's coordinating at that moment.
No, but it's had to intend it because other citta it's
at that moment, as Sarah is saying, it's performing the function of coordinating, as it does with every citta. It is coordinating the different citta seekers and the citta.
So it's better to refer to the function of coordinating at that moment.
I think as Sarah mentioned, the coordinating function applies to every citta. Yeah. Whereas what we call the intending is particularly relevant for kusala and akusala cittas. Because that's when it's kama, when it's kusala or akusala citta. And at other moments, it's not kamma. It's not cause.
I know. Yeah. But my meaning
so
is
that's
different.
Why we're explaining.
So you can classify in many meaning, coordinating or the intention mean either kusala kam or akusala kam, right? But intention, I think you get it that chetana means in Thai, in English means intention. We don't, we can understand that intention means the nature of dharma means intention. It's like not we or someone who intention, but intention to make to set chitta and other chetajiga to arise. Then
that's and
you know,
that is not
this nature of
in
dharma.
Seeing and hearing. In seeing and hearing, it's only coordinating.
I think other people might have questions here.
Yeah.
Vincent, you were talking before and in Bangsai about adi mana, overestimation. This was a topic that came up. And you actually quoted from where Nina had quoted from the Dharma Sankhani, and it mentions about whenever there is overestimation, adimana, it's a kind of mana, like if I think that I have better writing skills than Roti and it's overestimation, it sounded like it's mana. And Ajahn said no, and you were saying, oh, but it says it in the Dharma Sangani and Nina has quoted it and there was some confusion. Did you understand what Ajahn was saying?
About adimana,
yes.
Not being overestimating?
About why overestimation, which we could use the word adimana, why it's not always a kind of mana.
Okay, so the question is, when adimana means overestimation, but overestimation is not necessary.
Adimana.
Okay,
that's the point.
Okay.
Like, I may say I've got better writing skills than my friend, or they've got better writing skills, and it may not be true. In fact, my friend may have better writing skills.
It could be just
but
thinking,
when one
right?
thinks like that, it may be with mana or not with mana.
Right, right.
So when in the text it's referring to adimana as a kind
right.
of mana,
right.
it's referring to when one has that wrong idea,
yep.
mm-hmm. but it's with mana, when it's oneself that is important, when one's thinking about oneself.
Right.
Like if one thinks one has more punya than someone and it's not true,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
one may be thinking about one's own importance and then it's adimana.
Mm.
But one may just be making a wrong calculation
right, right.
without mana. So that was the point. Was that okay?
Yeah
that
okay.
was the point.
Or another way
yeah.
to put that would be not every comparison between oneself and another is necessarily mana, because it could be unrelated to one's own self-importance.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine even an arahant could wrongly estimate without any adi mana, right?
They may have an idea that they're taller than someone
right,
else,
right,
but
right.
it may
adimana,
just be
right.
a common miscalculation. Or
actually, the meaning of mana can be the meaning of comparing also.
Can be, but not necessarily
right.
so.
Like,
and there can be comparing that isn't mana, that's the point. Comparing rightly or wrongly, so it's not necessarily mana, and mana is not necessarily comparing.
Yeah. Like, I'm higher than that, I'm same like that person, or I'm lower, or whatever. Nine mana, there are nine kind of mana.
But that may be with mana, and it may not be. So it depends, yes.
Like, suppose Sariputta know that Buddha is the who higher than them, but not by comparing, but know by kusala, like kiriya chitta, I mean the good chitta. You can understand that, appreciate that.
Even now, right?
Yeah, even now we can.
It's
also.
All of, it's now, so unless it is
useless.
The mana at this moment, it can't be known. So when there's overestimation like now or under, it can be known at that moment only whether it's mana appearing. And another point that you brought up in a discussion, I'm just mentioning these because you're here and it's your last day, and in case there's anything further you want to discuss about it. And this was with regard to death. And you were talking about the objects of the cittas before death, like karma nimitta, and the other one, and about these special cittas and the objects. But I think the point, as Ajahn always makes, is it could be now. So what is the object of citta now, the visible object that is seen as the result of past karma, for example? So this is like thinking about what has just been seen. So this is like sign of karma right now. So those last cittas and the objects, they're given special names, but actually it's just like now. But the only difference is, and this is a question for Ajahn, Vincent was talking about the image of future life, for example, or future destiny as one of the objects. But that isn't like now, like thinking about seeing, thinking about the sign of seeing is just like now. But image of future life, that nimitta, isn't just like now. Do you have any comment?
Thinking can think of anything.
Yes.
And we don't know what is the object of thinking before death. Yes. Even if it is this or that or that.
Yeah. So actually it's just like now. It can be just thinking about next moment, thinking about last moment, thinking about anything at all, thinking about purple elephants.
But in the case of death, the last jhana before death, it seems to be that there is a connection, because that thinking is what's going to happen next.
Even at that moment, no one knows.
When you say it's what's going to happen next, but that could be, still that could be right now. It could, this moment of thinking could be followed immediately by chuti chitta. So what is thought about now can be the object of
so
the cheetahs of the next
that would
life.
Be the, what determines the next life? If I was thinking something about the future and I die, and that's
then that would be? Then that, if that is the object of the last moments of thinking and death comes, then that will be the object of the Bhavanga cheetahs in the next life.
But those cheetahs in the Javana process and the object are conditioned by past karma. Is that right, Ajahn? So we can't say if I'm thinking about such and such.
It doesn't seem
no. But conditioned. But if it's just one jhavana process, but one does hear about people before death seeing their future destiny, that would have to be many, many processes, wouldn't it?
So we end up talking about that which cannot be known.
Yes. So if it's just one jhavana process, that wouldn't be known, as it were, by the individual, because it's just so quick.
And it's not really it is really jhavana process. It's not a jhavana process as what's happening now. It's,
because
we call that jhavana, it's not really.
Because it's not after this, it's there yet.
It's just like now, and it could be death right now. So that means at this moment of thinking, and when you say, well, this could be after this moment of thinking, that death could come. So if it's time for death, then this last thinking is conditioned by karma to experience that
and
object.
And even now, no one knows the object of Bhavanga.
Yes. See? So it could be anything at all. Just like thinking now can think about anything, so in the next life, the Bhavanga can think about that object.
There's nothing different from now, that last moment.
Because we don't know what will be next moment. And why do we have three objects as kamma and kamma nimitta and kati nimitta before death? The citta which arises has to be conditioned by a kamma, and we don't know whether it is after seeing. And citta is kusala or akusala by previous kamma to condition this moment to have such objects.
So could you give an example of what it's like to have an object conditioned by previous karma now, apart from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching?
Do you think of what you have done before?
Yes.
Okay. By the action, by the shape of the tool,
right,
or the whatever?
Okay.
By the sign of that. So it's actually those objects. It's just like now, the only reason they have those special names is just to refer to the object of those last moments. But actually, it's like now.
It's like when someone may be in coma and all that, and maybe before death can have an image of grasses or like that can be a sign of you will be born as a animal.
Can be.
Can be.
Mm-hmm.
Nimitta.
Just like so now. Just
question.
Like now.
No, I was just interested, Ajahn, because you talked about those three aspects, the Kama Nimitta, Gati Nimitta, and what's the other one?
Kati Nimitta.
Gati Nimitta, Kama, Gati.
Kama, Kama Nimitta.
Kama Nimitta, and Kama, Aramana.
Kama and Kama
just two of them.
No, three, Kama, Kama Nimitta, and Gati Nimitta.
So what's the difference between Kama and Kama Nimitta, Ajahn?
If it's the object like now,
mm-hmm.
it is Kama.
Right.
And when it's the sign of the tool or the instrument, like you think about once you go and fishing, something like that, then it is Kamma Nimitta.
Mm-hmm.
And for Kitti Nimitta, who knows?
And
because
what was that last one?
The last
Gati.
One.
Gati, yeah, means bird. Yes.
Who knows? Because it's not yet die consciously.
Mm-hmm.
And even that is experienced as Kitti Nimitta. Now the Puvanka can be Kati Nimitta, but who knows?
Kati Nimitta means
sign of destiny.
But what is the difference between Kama Nimitta and Kati Nimitta?
Kama Nimitta is the sign of anything that has been done in the past, like when you went shopping or going to the movies yesterday.
Or killing someone.
Yeah,
killing
can
someone.
Be. Yeah, anything.
Gati Nimitta. Gati Nimitta is the sign of the place one's going to next. The sign, yeah. Well, sign of the plane, if you like, of the next rebirth.
Of the situation, like a fire.
Like as birth as a human or as an animal.
Or in the hell.
Or hell.
Heaven.
Yes, it's a sign
no,
of that.
Whatever.
Not known now.
No.
Not now.
When it's Kati Nimitta.
Because now, unless it's just before death, there's no sign of next destiny.
Yeah. Unless
oh.
we go to
so
die.
So sign of
it's something that is known
that
before
be,
the death.
It's
before
the,
death.
It can only be the object just before death. Yeah.
Mm. Or the last.
If it's not one of the others, Kama or Kama Nimitta.
If you're going to die, then you might. But if not, then you are not now. You still have, can live.
If it's the object now of citta and chuti citta follows instantly, then it's just the object unknown. Anything else about the moments before death or that topic, Vincent? Because you were asking about it. Everything clear? Because I thought there was some confusion when you were referring to these objects of those Javna cheetahs, like it was something special, like Kama or Kama Nimitta, but it's just like now, just like the objects of Kusala and Akusala cheetahs now. So now could be death. And the only reason they're given those names is because they are those last moments, but it's just like common object now.
And is Gati Nimitta always comes after Kama Nimitta? They're not related.
Just one.
One or the other.
Oh.
Only one object of one cheetah. So the last cheetahs before death, one of these three is the object, that's all.
Ajahn, my dad and me has some conflict.
What a surprise.
We were having a question. Like they're saying that when you're in hell, you can remember by what karma you did. Like suppose someone in Avechi, like Tevatat, or someone who is in hell can know also what karma make them to born in that realm. Is that true?
Because it's spontaneous birth.
Mm. So immediately. So Luda, at that time.
When you just
I don't even
there.
Remember this conversation. You were saying that in Pamela, you have to say for what karma you did. You don't believe me. I told you like this. I said
I don't remember.
You,
I don't remember.
You
but I do know that in devas you can remember.
In hell also you can.
So if it's spontaneous, why not? Yeah.
Just like in ghost realm, the same. Peter realm, the same. Because spontaneous birth. So maybe not much clearly, but. Like if you read about the
Peta stories, then they can remember about what led up to their death, for example.
In that place.
In that previous existence, whether human existence or which animal exists, whatever existence.
No, human animal can't, because it's in the womb.
No, when they're remembering the previous life, what happened before the death, before that birth in the Peta realm, so they can remember what deeds were done in the human realm before death, for example.
Suppose I'm in hell right now, I can remember, because I might kill someone, because of what karma make me born in hell.
See, like, yes, they were and that's only immediately after you there, but after some time, I wouldn't suppose you would remember. Your memories would have been faded after some time.
I mean, what?
Just like a child here can remember some incidents, but later, forgotten, yes.
But the knowing of the karma that caused the rebirth and remembering of the previous life are two different things, aren't
they? But that doesn't make you believe in karma. That make thamai panjaya means some people might think that after it can maybe then karma is real, then it can accumulate in panjaya, but that's no. We have to be very precise in karma.
Otherwise, we would all believe in karma.
Then,
because we bought so
much.
And if we want to be precise, it's not about I or anyone else who was in this realm and now I'm born as a ghost and I'm doing this and that. We're just talking about different dharmas. So because of the origination of that birth consciousness being spontaneous, there are just conditions for that kind of thinking about occurrences in the previous life, but it's not anyone who's reborn, or it's just different dharmas, different jitas, chetasikas and rupas that are conditioned in those ways.
Like someone, we can appreciate that karma and the result karma is real. Like we can say that why some people maybe get fired, why someone have such a happy life or bad life. Some people may think it's unconditional, but if we can understand that that is a result of some cause, it can make me appreciate the karma at certain level. So it can possibly mean that the realm that have always people in fire also can possibly be, right?
But you have to understand.
By not thinking, but at thamai chirpen
here. The only way to understand karma is to understand the difference between thinking and seeing.
No, as a pariyati, we can appreciate. Some people may think, suddenly to fall down from the stair by accidentally.
Okay, I have something that I would like to raise, Ajahn. When touching, hardness appears and hardness can be known. And the mind door is there instantly, thinking about what has been touched, but it's not known because it's covered up by the touching, and it seems that the touching lasts. When it appears, when the mind door dharmas appear and Panya knows them, it's quite different from Pariyatti, that's clear. Like now there's thinking about any nama object, any mind or object.
But what is the difference when it's not, when it's different from the sense door process?
What is the difference? What is the difference is that when it's sense door object, then only sense door object appears, visible object.
And when
object
the mind door experience that after sense door?
Then it's the same reality, exactly. But it's not known that it's through the mind or sense door. And your comment was that now the mind door is covered up, say, by the touching or the sense door process.
The sense door covered or the mind door covered?
The mind door is covered up by the sense door process. And when the mind door appears and Panya knows it, it's different from like moments of Pariyatti understanding, reflecting on Dharma. And you said it's also different from Patipatti understanding. It must be Pativeda, it must be Nama Rupa Paricheda.
But is covered at this moment?
What is covered is the mind door.
The mind door covers sense door.
Right.
In a day, there are that which is seen, heard, and so on. No understanding of mind door, which also experienced
right,
objects.
The same objects. Mm. So when it's direct understanding of hardness, it doesn't matter whether it's sense door or mind door or anything, it's just reality that's directly experienced. So when you say when mind door appears, here by mind door appears, you're referring to, for example, the hardness that appears in the mind door.
No matter it is hardness or sound or whatever.
Any reality. And when you say when Panya knows it, it's different from Pariyatti or Patipatti. But why not at moments of Satipatthana? I mean, it is
all the way Satipatthana.
I mean, obviously, it's not clear like
even
when it's
Nibbana is Satipatthana.
Patthana, yes. Or Patipatti, I should say, to differentiate. Obviously, at moments of direct understanding, even if it's understood well, it's not clear like in Vipassana Jnana. But here you're saying that
why it's not as clear?
Because when it's Patipatti, it's not as clear as when it's
Panya is not enough yet.
Panya is not of
so
the degree
the
of Vipassana Jnana.
Mind door is always covered by the sense door.
Yes. But when that object appears, we'll say the hardness, and Panya knows it at level of direct understanding, and you say
what level of understanding?
Patipatti, direct
patipatti.
Understanding.
Okay.
And you said when it appears and Panya knows it, it's not Pariyatti and Patipatti, it must be Pativeda.
At moment when Satipatthana is there, the object appears better than
I think that's all
yeah.
it's being referred to.
But not
to.
Pativeda,
yes.
Pativeda
yes.
yet.
Yes, yes. It was just a little confusion with the wording. You were saying if mind door appears, Manodwara, it must be Pativeda. Otherwise, what appears are only five sense door objects. Mm-hmm. So when you say that if mind door appears, it must be Pativeda because otherwise it's five sense door objects. But if it, at moments of direct understanding, let's say that Patipatti understanding at this moment, then it may be not the sense door object like hardness or visible object. It may be lobha or dosa or mind or object seeing whatever appears now. So why do you say only five sense door objects unless it's Pativeda?
It is not like now.
Just because it's not like Patipatti, yes. So just referring to the degree, I think, yes.
Okay. So, do I understand this correctly? What you're saying here is that like now, the sense door covers up mind door because there's not no Panya that sees the mind door process because everything seems like the seeing all the time or visible object, there's sound, there's the thing, it's all like just sense door experiences. So even when it's at the level of Satipatthana that knows, say, Vetana, which is a mental reality, or any other concentration or any other mental reality, at that time, it's still not a case of knowing mind door as distinct from sense door. That happens only at Vipassana Jnana and through the experience of a sense door object that is immediately followed by the mind door. At that time, the Panya knows the difference of the object that is first experienced through the sense door and then through the mind door.
Little by little. And now why do we say that the sense doors cover the mind door? Because even mind door experience the same object as sense door. It does appear as mind door at all. This is Pariyatti, to understand that there must be mind door after sense door. Each process of sense door.
What do we mean when we say it doesn't appear as mind door?
Okay, where's mind door now?
We've said that sense door process followed by a lot of thinking, And it's thinking that gives the idea of
before
people
thinking,
and things.
Before thinking. Mind out before thinking.
Right.
Just for the sense of instantly.
You're talking about the door, yes. So this is different from saying that what appears now is the thinking rather than the actual sense door object, right?
We know.
Sound is not experienced as sound. We just hear words and understand the meaning immediately. So
we
that's
now
thinking.
Know from reading, but there must be mind door after sense door, for so sure. What,
to clarify, we're talking about the mind door moment.
Before conceptualization, before all the concept being
just
followed
now,
by, just right
now,
after the sense
who
doors.
Knows
right?
The moment of mind door. Because the object appears exactly the same all the time.
And even if there is understanding of sound, it's just sound that is understood, no thought or idea of sensed or mind, or it's just the reality of sound. So when you said to Sukhin, he asked about Vipassana Jnana, and it's known whether it's visible object that's experienced in eye door or mind door, you said little by little. What do you mean, little by little? Because even at that moment, it's just visible object that is directly
are we
experienced.
Talking about the Patipatti?
Now,
he's
talking quite
about quite different from
yes.
Panya at level of Patipatti, which is quite different from intellectual understanding. Yes. So we have to understand that now we learn from the book Tipitaka. After each sense door process, there must be mind door after Pavanga instantly. Mm-hmm. Where is now?
Yeah.
No one knows.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Panya.
So I was wrong to think that it's the in the same sense door process, but it's the mind door that follows the sense door mm-hmm. that is known
so,
at that time. Right now, even when there's thinking and there's maybe satipatthana of thinking as just thinking, it's still not a case of knowing mind door.
Right.
Achan, but I'm confused why Pati only can know only the sense door, but only Pati Veta know mind door?
Is there mind door after seeing process?
Yes, they have.
Do you know that?
No. But Pati, but so you mean that mind door cannot be object of Pati, but Panya? I mean, cannot be?
At what level?
Satipatthana, but that's the Panya is not at the level of Pativeta, which knows mind door as mind door.
I mean, Pativeta, then you can say sense door also, then Pati, but it's not as clear.
That's why
as
we.
It's not
listen.
Clear, yeah, it's not as clear.
That's why we listen from one word, just one by one word. Now we talk about there are many mind door processes after sense door. Who knows? Does it appear? Only the sense object appear all day because the sati is not there yet, even just a moment. We have to begin. What conditions satipatthana without understanding? There cannot be sati, which is directly aware of a reality by condition. See, it begins from no one. Only it's conditioned by what? So who knows whether sati is now or not? Only when satipatthana arises. Otherwise, you cannot think of what is satipatthana, how it appears, what is its characteristic. It just say that be aware directly. What is meant by directly? See, because now no one knows from book that seeing is not self. But at moment of seeing, what and where or when is the understanding of seeing just now, as not self. But from hearing and learning more and more and more, unexpectedly, when there are conditions for that moment, so it appears as another all the way, no one, little by little, to have more experience with right understanding of different level. So when there are conditions for satipatthana, the direct awareness to arise, who knows when, of what object. Right? But the understanding begins to see the difference between the direct understanding and when we are just talking about seeing and hearing and it's not direct understanding or direct awareness yet. So Patipatti cannot be Pativeda. But there can be the understanding of the level of Satipatthana, that it's not just talking much about this and that without the direct understanding of anyone yet. So when Satipatthana arises, the object appears, begin to be well.
But mind or can be the object of
Yes.
Anything can be.
But now the point is, there are mind or processes in between each sense or process, but completely unknown. It seems like seeing last or hearing a sound last, but in between each sense or process, there are mind or processes, but not known at all.
So I'm appreciating so much all the time how you bring back whatever questions people ask, you always bring it back to now. And it's such a good reminder. And I had a conversation with Sundara the other day, and that is so important. And Sundara said, yes, and we have to begin again. And it is forgotten all the time. And even the forgetting we take for self. It's self that forgets.
Is there any doubt about the Satipatthana now? It's not intellectual understanding, and it's known only when it has arisen that it is aware, or the object appears well because of what? Why now it does not appear well, but when just one object appears well because Satipatthana, it's there, direct awareness of that object as being conditioned. No one make it arise at all.
Sukhin, when you referred to mind or being known or not known, what reality are you talking about?
Mind or reality.
An object experienced through the mind. Or,
yeah.
This is from book.
This is a good one.
Yeah, because sometimes there's confusion. I think people talk about understanding mind or reality, and then they have the wrong idea that one's talking about Bhavangachitta. I think I corrected something you said about this a long time ago, because it's misunderstood.
Would you say again what is misunderstood?
I remember a long time ago you mentioned in something you wrote about, because we'd heard about knowing or not knowing the mind or. And you thought that Ajahn was referring to Bhavangachitta, which is the mind door. So it can be misunderstood if one talks about understanding of mind door. Yes.
I know what you mean.
Yes.
So what is being referred to exactly?
I think what is being referred to is any object experienced through the mind door, not the reality, which is mind or. So I think it has to be clear. You think it can be misunderstood too?
Yes, very high level of Pandya, why not? Not Patibat.
Why?
Can Patibat know mind or?
Think about it.
Can think about
not
it.
Not experience, because it is not Pativeda. That's why we have to understand what is meant by Pativeda.
I think what's important is that we don't know seeing. So you think you want to know that I door. So we don't know seeing yet.
By I door, you mean the I base, sense.
Yeah.
When Satipatthana does not appear yet, it hasn't arisen yet. How can one know what is meant by appear well? Mm. At level of Satipatthana, and what about at level of Pativeda? So we live in the world of thinking, concepts, from birth to death.
Fantasy like science.
Mm-hmm. Even when we're talking about understanding mind, or it can be fantasy thinking, nothing to do with understanding Dharma now.
So
it depends.
No,
it depends.
Pariyatti
is understanding.
Is understanding, but to make it a more. Ajahn uses the word delirious thinking, per Dhamma.
When I try to explain in Holland about appear well, people will ask me, can I give a text where it is explained appear well?
Then there's not enough panya or when there's no panya, it's different. Mm-hmm. And when there is panya at level of intellectual understanding, one just learn about realities but not direct experience yet.
Is there any reference?
For example, what's in the text about?
Appear well.
Then one knows that why it's not well. What about the satipatthana? If we don't know what satipatthana is, can they be conditioned to have satipatthana arising?
And the chant appear well is reference to appearing well to panya or appearing well to sati?
Only sati without panya, the object cannot appear well.
So both.
It means panya with sati.
Appear well means but is either patipat or pativeta. Appear well. True.
Moments of satipatthana before it's vipassana jnana, when it's vipassana jnana, which is pativeda, then appears even more clearly. Clearly.
Even well.
Better.
Clearly.
Clearly.
And on that point about fantasy thinking, because like when I've used it, as they both mentioned, I refer to it as like delirious thinking or being lost in one's daydreams and stories. So like manyati or thinking about, thinking with lobha, thinking with ignorance, nothing known at all. But the other day, in one of the discussions, there was a comment about metta, and you made the comment, I think, that even at moments of metta, it could be said to be fantasy, and only when it's direct understanding of reality in the path that it's not fantasy, because, like we know, even jhana, in one sense, can be referred to the wrong path because it's not leading to the way out of samsara. So you were saying that this is a deeper meaning, that even when it's not understanding of reality, even when it's other kinds of kusala, even jhana, in that sense, it's
many
fantasy,
degrees,
different degrees, layers and layers.
Like example of Sodaban, Sakatakami, Anakami have dream, Arahata cannot have dream because Mayur Yai. Suppose I have a good dream, right, about like a soda bun, have a good dream about having friend and all that with metta. So it can be fantasy with kusala chit also, but without panya. So you can dream also.
Without panya, fantasy.
The other day, this is for Roti and Sukin, about pandra, because even in the Chinese sessions it came up, and Sukin said, oh well, for him he just thinks that when citta experiences clearly, but actually it's the nature of citta itself which is pandra. It's not the way it experiences, but the nature of citta itself is pandra. And I just came across a reference this morning actually, and it was talking about the akusala cittas now are pandra because they flow from the bhavanga citta. They follow the bhavanga citta. And the example given in the text often is slightly out of salani, is about the Ganges. So at the source of the Ganges, the river is completely pure. There's no debris, there's no inflow of any intoxicants. So it's clear. And then by the time it gets to even Rishikesh, people are bathing in the water. I read an article about why there's so much resistance to antibiotics in the world, and they've done a big study on the Ganges. So even by the time it gets to Rishikesh in winter, it's still pretty pure, but when all the tourists and visitors come in the summer and everyone bathes in it, then it's already quite dirty. There are already the intoxicants in the water. And then by the time it gets to Varanasi, it's like a cesspool. But the point is that the Ganges itself, the flow of river from the source, is pandra all the way through. But it's made foul by all the debris and intoxicants that contaminate it. And that's what it's meant by citta as pandra.
So that's
that citta itself is
citta.
Pure.
That is the meaning of citta as pandra, means that...
To make difference between citta and chittasika.
I think that's what it is.
Yes.
Just showing the difference, because when it's bhavanka citta, it still has chetasikas. Still, we have to make the distinction between the
citta
and chetasika. So it's just showing the difference between citta and
chetasika. The citta itself is always pandra, no matter what. And the simile about the akusala cheetahs coming from the bhavanga, it's like in this life, the cheetah itself is pure, the bhavanga cheetah is pure. There are no akusala cheetahs, chetasikas at
that
moment.
But that's
not
the meaning of bhavanga that's intended to show that cheetah is different
all
from...
Cheetah.
Oh, pandra, yes. But then that's the way they describe it. Yeah, and the simile of the Ganges, like even at the source there are other factors, but the cheetah itself is always pandra. Yeah, but the reason they mention the bhavanga cheetah is like when they talk about pabhasara, when it's kusala or kusala vipaka, it's pabhasara, but actually each cheetah is pandra because it flows from those bhavanga cheetahs, or the cheetah itself is not the contaminating force. It's the chetasikas that contaminate.
Anantara pachai is I'm talking something else.
When you say flowing from the bhavanga cheetahs, I don't really quite understand, because bhavanga cheetah is also cheetah, so what flows from the bhavanga cheetah?
The point is just being made, like in this realm, there is nothing akusala about the bhavanga cheetahs. So a bit like the Ganges at the source, there's nothing contaminated at the source. But when the akusala chetasikas arise, they contaminate, they condition the cheetah in an unwholesome way.
But
it's just an example. It's just showing that the cheetah itself is always pandra.
But also the kusala, not only akusala contaminates the pandra, right? Also the kusala.
No. Actually, it's just showing that, as Achan said, it's just showing that what's the difference between citta and chittasika. What it's like.
Yeah, but she's talking only about akusala.
Yes,
no.
But when kusala chittasikas arise, we don't talk about them as contaminating. Like kusala cheetahs are also pabhasara, luminous, radiant. Or if we're talking about the example of the Ganges, if purified water is added to the Ganges at the source, we don't say it's contaminated. It's only contaminated by kusala. But any cheetah is pandra.
Mm-hmm. But for example, in the example of the Ganges River, we could say that cheetah is H2O, right? The water itself.
Okay. So
right?
Pandra.
So anything you add to H2O, even if it's like a human excrement or something beautiful, some flower scent or something, both are you're adding something to the H2O.
Yeah, but the H2O is still a H2O.
Yeah.
That's
the others other things are still separate. Compounds.
Yeah, that I understand it very well, as the H2O will be H2O all the way to Calcutta.
Yeah.
But what I don't get is the difference between human excrement and flower scent, because both means you're adding something to the H2O.
That's right. That is cittanupasanasatipatthana of every kind of citta.
Whatever it is.
It sounds like one enhances it, luminous, radiant, the other defiles.
That's the point. It's just stressing that in these examples, that even when it arises with akusala, let alone at any other time, it's still pandra, because it's the akusala factors that contaminate it. And that's why, even though some cheetahs, like kusala cheetahs, are luminous or radiant in this way, all cheetahs are pandra. That's just what it's about.
Yeah, but one way also, like they're saying that when kusala chitta arises in Thai, they say chamra chit hai sa'ak. Mean it's saying like always the chitta are contaminated by akusala, so kusala clean, like in the meaning chamra chit hai sa'ak, means clean the what always like a sa of akusala. Go,
you can appreciate that. No, what Haji is saying is that in Thai they use chamra chit hai sa'ak means to purify the chitta, means with development of understanding.
In this case, that's quite different from when one's talking about cheetahs, pandra, right from the outset. That is talking about the function of panya to purify. This is talking about the nature of any cheetah as pandra.
It's very easy to confuse, because we're to confuse the pandara nature of chitta, to confuse it with kusala, like.
No.
So I mean, it's
not
easy.
Two different.
Maybe that's why
yeah.
so many schools do that, have done that through the centuries.
Well, that's why the topic comes up, like we're asked about it a lot. And this is why this is pointing out the distinction, how even a kusala cheetahs are pandara.
So, Chan, you just referred to Chittanu.
Vasana.
Vasana. So, what you're saying is that through the development of understanding of Chitta.
To understand Chitta as of self.
As not self. And
no
then
matter it is seeing, hearing, or whatever.
And that at some point, then, when the understanding is high enough, then the meaning of Chitta being Pandara can be known.
I think it's pointing to how the cheetah itself, like cheetah arising with loba, the cheetah rooted in loba is different from the loba. So the cheetah itself can be understood. And even though it's rooted in loba, the cheetah is not loba. It's pure, but the cheetah is quite different from the loba that arises.
Different from Pandya.
Yes.
In that section, it says that the bhikkhu knows chitta with loba as chitta with loba, and chitta with dosa as chitta with dosa. So I think it must be, as Sarah said, that it's referring to the difference between the chitta and the loba or the dosa that arises together with it.
So that means, in that, it means that knowing the difference between the chitta and the chittasikas, one is chittanupasana, the other is dhammanupasana. As understanding develops, one comes also to the understanding that chitta itself is pandara.
Different from chittasikas.
I just, in making firmer, in firming this information, is that what is being discussed is the characteristic of chitta is different from the characteristic of akusala. Is that?
It's gone. It's impossible to understand that moment. But from hearing, we can understand the difference between this citta and the other citta. That's all. But to know that citta is not cetasika, it appears as that which experiences. At that moment, even lopa is there, it's not known. But the understanding of no self is the truth of all dhammas.
So the difference between citta and cetasika rather than between citta and akusala.
Kunsuntara, would you like to ask Achan whether the topic that we discussed last 2 days ago, that about the paccathavara vachana chit, when appears in the sense door process, it's only called the like seeing, before seeing is jakku tawara vachana chit, or we call it panchatawara vachana chit, right? Is it right?
Well, Ajahn, I thought, made a very keen point early on when she was talking with the Chinese people. she said, this is how I understood it, that avachana citta, it's a kriya citta, and it can have any object, different from panchavijnana, which must be either seeing or hearing or smelling. So Ajahn asked the question, which I'm trying to put together now to help people to see that kriya cittas at the sense door process there does not mind what the object is. It's either seeing, hearing, smelling, or it's before in the vachana process. So, but when it's panchavijnana, then it has to be either seeing or hearing or smelling. She was making a differentiation between avachana and panchavijnana.
I think the point being made was, the question was, why is panchadwara vajana citta kiriya citta? Why is it not vipaka citta? That was one point.
That was
Ajahn's question, yes.
But Kunsuntara just has doubt about the name when we call it panchadwara vajana citta. And Jakudavara Vachanacitta.
Well, we don't say, as I remember, but we don't say Panchadwara Vachanacitta. We don't say Chakudwara Vachanacitta. We don't say that.
Why not?
Because it's a kriya citta, and it can take any object.
Mm-hmm. Same
point. So the point was, when Ajahn asked this question, what she was asking was, why is it kriya citta at that moment, not vipaka citta? And if it's vipaka citta, it can only experience one object, but panchadwara vajana can experience through any sense door.
Yes, I know that, but it's just the name, panchadwara vajana citta or chakudwara vajana citta, we call when it's the seeing process.
Uh-huh. Does it matter about the name?
No.
It doesn't matter at all. Just to come back to a point I mentioned in passing the other day about contemplating dhammas in Satipatthana Sutta, and it mentioned that his mind becomes concentrated, samadhi, and the upakalesa are abandoned, and he picks up that sign. Here, when it refers to the kalesa being abandoned, pahiyanti, then it means completely abandoned at stages of enlightenment. Is that correct?
Is it used in other places as well?
Well,
abandoned.
Well, like we said, there are five kinds of abandoning, so one has to look at the context as to...
It's also referring to
Tadanga Pahana. Yeah,
many degrees, that's all.
Vipassana Jnana. Even when it's Vipassana Jnana, it's referred to as partial abandoning, on the way to complete abandoning. Like at Vipassana Jnana, it's partial abandoning because definitely enlightenment will occur, and that's why at the second stage of Vipassana Jnana it's referred to as Chula Sotapanna. So it's like partial abandoning. So here, when it refers to the kalesa being abandoned and picking up the sign, does it refer to enlightenment, or can be Vipassana Jnana, or
it depends on Panya at that very moment to know.
Right. Or at that moment, right. And so then the sign would be of what has been abandoned at what level, I think. Okay, thank you. Just one other quick point on discussing the ayatanas, like sometimes manayatana refers to the six doors, like obviously I sense and so on, and then mind door, the last Bhavanga Citta. Sukhin's point reminded me. So they mentioned Bhavanga Citta, but it refers to Bhavanga Citta, and actually any citta is a bit like upekka, and any reality is the third kind of dukkha, but Bhavanga Citta for short. And then sometimes in the text for Dhammayatana, sometimes it's translated or referred to as six doors and six objects, but objects is, I think, misleading for Dhammayatana because it includes any subtle rupa, chetasika, nibbana. For example, the chetasikas are not just when they are object, but also when they are arising with citta. But the other day when someone mentioned about objects, and I mentioned it's referring to these realities, and you said, can chetasika be the object? It can be the object, but it's also dhammayatana whenever it arises.
It depends on what we are talking about.
Yes.
When we talk about ayatana, we don't mean object at
no,
all. We
at
just
all.
Talk about that which is manayatana and dhammayatana.
Yes, because I'm just helping correct something in Abhidhamma and daily life, and I think it may be wrong in the Thai too when it refers to six doors and six objects, and then people even think concepts are included and there's a lot of confusion. So I think it needs to be clear that manayatana refers to any citta and dhammayatana refers to any subtle rupa, chetasika or nibbana. Otherwise people just think in terms of objects, which is misleading. They mix it up with,
and object.
And that's why they mix up ayatanas with Dharma Ramana and think it's the same. So it needs to be very clear, this point, I think.
Thank you for all the Dharma options you have today. Very helpful. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it so much.